First Chronicles chapter 15 is where we begin today. In verse 1, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the Bible says, after David had constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Now, the original tabernacle, which Moses and company made, was in Gibeon. So evidently David built a duplicate of some sort and set it up in the capital city, which was Jerusalem. Verse 2, then David said, no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever. You know, evidently somebody searched the scriptures and discovered why Uzzah had been struck dead the last time they transported the ark. And they did their homework this time. And so David is going to do the transporting the correct way this time, that they're going to do it right. Verse 3. David assembled all Israel in Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to the place he had prepared for it. And so for the second time, God prepares a big homecoming for the ark in Jerusalem. And David is involved in this. Verse 4. He called together the descendants of Aaron and the Levites. And so David called for the two high priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and all the regular priests. In verses 5 through 10, I will not read, because they just list the three families of the Levitical priest. Let's skip down to verse 11. Then David summoned Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Abinadab, the Levites. He said to them, you are the heads of the Levitical families. You and your fellow Levites are to consecrate yourself and bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. David is making sure, absolutely sure, that everything is done by the book this time. He doesn't want any more Uzzah-type incidents with people being struck dead for mishandling the holy ark of God. 13, it was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way. And so they didn't ask God how to transport the ark the first time, and that's why one of the transporters, Uzzah, died when he touched it. Verse 14. So the priests and Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. So they followed God's directions right down to the smallest detail, not taking any chances this time at all, because they knew God meant business. Verse 15, and the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders, as Moses had commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord. David told the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brothers as singers, to sing joyful songs accompanied by musical instruments, lyres, harps, and cymbals. Everything would be done according to the book. But that didn't mean they wouldn't celebrate the Lord in the process. Worship should be conducted in an orderly way, but it should also be done with a heart for God. You know, the two don't exclude each other. You can have both. You can have decent and in order, and also joy. It doesn't have to be stale. Verses 17 through 24 list the musicians and the others who will be a part of this big event. So we're not going to read their names. Instead, we will skip on down to verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of units of 1,000 went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with rejoicing. And so there was reverence, and there was also great joy. verse 26. Because God had helped the Levites, who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, 7 bulls and 7 rams were sacrificed. So God helped them to not make a mistake this time. They asked for help. They sought the Lord's will, and he helped them to do it the right way. Verse 27. Now David was clothed in a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the ark, and as were the singers, and the Kenana, who was in charge of the singing of the choirs. David also wore a linen ephod. And so the ephod that David wore indicated that he was the one in charge of this whole thing. Verse 28. So all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouts, with the sounding of ram's horns and trumpets and of cymbals, and the playing of lyres and harps. The music, the singing, the shouting was all very loud. And this was not loud for the sake of loud. This was loud because they were excited about God. 29. As the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David dancing and celebrating, she despised him in her heart. David's wife didn't love God. She didn't have a relationship with God, so she despised David for his spontaneous show of love for him. Chapter 16, they brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. The offerings here were to strengthen their relationship with God. They were given out of a heart, obviously, that loved the Lord. And so this must have been very pleasing to God, too. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offering and fellowship offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And so this blessing in the name of the Lord was a form of prayer, asking God to do good things for the people of God. Verse 3. Then he gave a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. And by that, the worship of God was jump-started in Jerusalem. Verse 5, Asaph was the chief, Zechariah second, then Jeiel, Shemarath-Moth, Jehiel, Matthiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jeiel. They were to play the lyres and harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbals. And verse 6 says, and Benaiah and Jehezeel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. And so these trumpets, very important, by the way, in the worship of God. The trumpets were used to announce certain religious festivals and seasons, and among other things in Israel. They were very useful. Verse 7, that day David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. And so David wrote a song by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be used in public worship. Verse 8, here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Calling on God's name is acknowledging that he alone is God. Verse 9. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. In other words, be proud of God and praise him because you're proud of him. Verse 11. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. In other words, put your trust and your confidence in God. 12. Remember the wonders he has done. his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. God deals with the good and the bad in a way that is just. And we can count on that all the time. We can count on that. And we never have to worry about that varying, even slightly. His judgments that he pronounces are always trustworthy and always the right thing to do. Verse 13. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen one, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. God's judgments are all over the place. And they are easy to recognize, but they are spiritually discerned. But still, they are easy to recognize if one wants to see them, and if one is walking with the Lord, so that they can recognize them. Verse 15. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations. And this is actually a command for God's people to remember his word. He remembers his word, and we are to remember his word as well. 16. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. God promised the land of Palestine to Israel until the very end of time. That is to be their land. 19. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it. And this refers to the time when Jacob and his 12 sons, who were the patriarchs of the nation Israel, lived among the heathen who first dwelt in that land of Palestine. Verse 20. They wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. The patriarchal family moved around a lot. Verse 21. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. At times, that patriarchal family, they deserved trouble from the heathen. And they got some, but God graciously protected them. 22. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. God keeps his watchful eyes on those who belong to him, and he will punish those who hurt his people. Verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. And it's not just God's people who should praise him. All the earth should praise him. Everyone should praise God for the salvation that he offers through the Savior Jesus Christ today, because it's for the benefit of all, if they will only accept it. Verse 24. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, making disciples of all people. That means telling them about God. Teach them about God. Verse 25, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. He is to be feared above all gods, so-called gods, because there is only one God, and it's God. There's no point in fearing a God that isn't even real. You fear the one God. And that fear of God will make you not want to worship those other gods or anything or anyone except the one true God. And here we go in verse 26. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. There's a big difference between the God of the Bible and all other so-called gods. The big difference is God is the creator. He's the only God that there is. And the other ones are all idols, meaning they are absolutely nothing. They're not even real. If you're not worshiping the God of the Bible and his son, Jesus Christ, you're worshiping nothing. I can't think of a bigger waste of time than that. 27, splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. You know, God is strong. He is mighty, he is powerful, he is holy, but he is also joyful. He's a happy God. That's why the closer we are to him, the closer our relationship with God is, the more joy we're going to have. Verse 28, Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Talk about His strength. Honor Him. Say good things about God, among the heathen especially. Bring honor to God because He deserves it. Verse 29, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Worship should always be done with the idea that God is holy. And it is the holiness of God that should inspire our worship, along with the goodness of God. But we should never allow God's goodness and His mercy to outshine His holiness. That is the essential attribute of God that separates Him from the rest of creation. And so it says in verse 30, tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be removed, or it cannot be moved. Tremble before God. Be in awe of Him. Respect Him. He is God. He created this big old ball that we call earth. That's an amazing thing to do, and He created us, and we are accountable to Him. So respect Him. 31, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And when the Lord reigns, people are glad. And when Jesus Christ returns and sets up the new heavens and the new earth and reigns, it's going to be wonderful. Verse 32, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Even nature is going to be thrilled when Jesus Christ returns, because the curse of sin that nature has even been suffering under will be gone. It's going to be a great environment. Verse 34, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And not only worship God because of His holiness and tremble because of His holiness and because of His justice, but also give thanks to the Lord because He loves us in spite of our failures. And He is merciful to us if we just ask for it through Jesus Christ. So there's many, many reasons to give thanks to the Lord our God. Verse 35, cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, that we may glory in Your praise. And of course, Israel did do that. They were delivered into the hands of their enemies because of their sin. And when they cried out to God for mercy, God delivered them, and they gave thanks. And things were good for a while, but then they would slip back into sin, and the whole cycle began to play itself out over and over again. 36, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And then all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. So, a wonderful time of celebration, celebrating the eternal, everlasting God. Verse 37, David left Asaph and his associates before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly according to each day's requirements. So they set up the regular worship of Almighty God in Jerusalem the way it should be. Verse 38, he also left Obed-Edom and his 68 associates to minister with them. Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun, and also Hosea were gatekeepers. Verse 39, David left Zadok, the priest, and his fellow priest before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place in Gibeon. So Gibeon remained a sanctuary, even though they had set up this place of worship in Jerusalem. Gibeon remained a sanctuary, a place of worship, until the time of King Solomon, actually. Verse 40, let's read 39 with it. David left Zadok the priest and his fellow priest before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place in Gibeon to present burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offerings regularly, morning and evening, in accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord, which he had given Israel. And this refers to that place of worship in Gibeon. So they were doing it by the book. They were worshiping God by the book. 41 with them were Hermon and Jeduthun, and the rest of those chosen and designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Heman and Jeduthun were responsible for the sounding of the trumpets and cymbals, and for the playing of the other instruments for sacred song. The sons of Jeduthun were stationed at the gate. And then all the people left, each for his own home, and David returned home to bless his family. And after the time David spent with the Lord, you can bet that he really was a blessing to his family. You know, the best thing that we can do for our families is to spend time with God. Next time, chapter 17. Until then, so long, everyone.